Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. John McClain, sportsradio610.com down in Houston, joins us every week. Nice enough. We moved days this week. He's on Thursday, usually Wednesdays at 9:30. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. After that big Astros win over the Rangers last night, Texans have a bye week. They're 3-3. A lot of teams are unhappy with 3-3, but considering that equals their victory total from last season, people are ecstatic because they're 3-1 in their last four games. And the only loss was a field goal with no time left in Atlanta, at Atlanta, a team that the Titans can beat.
Well, do you think the Titans can beat them with either Malik Willis or Will Levis at quarterback? Because that's probably going to be the case. It looks like Ryan Tannehill is going to miss some time.
Yeah, well, I wonder if Tannehill will ever play again. Mike Vrabel's going to go with the quarterback he thinks gives him the best chance to win, and I'm guessing that's going to be Willis. When he's going to, I would imagine, run the ball a lot along with Henry and Spears. They'll kind of borrow from the Falcons' formula, although Desmond Ritter's thrown for over 300 yards in the last two games, looked great against the Texans, looked horrendous because of three interceptions and a couple of clock management issues. So this is kind of going to be, when they play, an old-fashioned kind of a throwback game between two coaches who know each other well, and both of them love to run the football.
So as you can imagine, around here, the natives are restless. They've lost two in a row to Indianapolis and go to London and lose to Baltimore in a game, both games that they, you know, had opportunities to win. Now Tannehill's hurt, and so there's been a lot of discussion on, is it time for the fire sale? Is it time to shop Henry? Is it time to shop Byard and Hopkins and Danico Autry? And you know, while I understand it and maybe look to the future, I just don't feel like there's going to be much of a market to get much back for any of those guys. What do you think?
I agree. I think that and look at it from Vrabel and Rand Cawthorn's perspective. They're two games out of first place. Yes, they're not as good as Jacksonville. They're also one game out of second, but they're in last place. I don't think you go with Will Levis at a time like this. There's plenty of time to see him later in the season if they continue to struggle. But no team in the NFL has a fire sale anymore where they get rid of a bunch of players. And I think this is going to be there, because I think Goodell would step in if he thought teams were tanking on purpose. You don't tank by getting rid of players. You tank by who you play. And if the Titans want to tank, put Will Levis out there, because the odds are they're not going to win. I'm not even saying they're going to win as much. Maybe Willis could give them two or three more wins. But you guys know, when the draft comes along, one more victory can have a big meaning. Like when the Texans won their last game in Indianapolis and Lovie Smith went for two and made it, and they beat the Colts, and he was fired, and he was going to be fired anyway because he did a terrible job. But fans just went ballistic because they were mad because, man, you cost us Bryce Young. Now they got stuck with C.J. Stroud, and it's amazing the way sometimes things work out.
It is. We're talking to the great John McClain. John, why aren't there more in-season trades in the National Football League? You know, you see it in baseball, basketball, and hockey, but in the NFL, very rarely do you see them. I mean, there are a few here and there, but why aren't there more compared to the other leagues?
One player doesn't make as big a difference in football unless it's a quarterback, of course, and good quarterbacks are not going to be traded. There's some teams, fans and media pushing, well, get Kirk Cousins. You know, Kirk Cousins, his contract's up. Well, you don't want to do a rental. Before you could do a thing like that, you'd have to get him to agree to an extension, and he's not going to do it. You know, you just don't do it at this time of year. So basketball, you know, you can get one player and he can get you to playoffs. Baseball, if you get a pitcher, a guy who can start, or a guy who can close, or maybe a guy that's that we see a lot of rentals in baseball. And there's lots of talk right now. Will the Padres trade Juan Soto with one more year left on his contract after he turned down $440 million with the Nationals before they traded him to San Diego? So we see it's so much fun at deadline time in baseball. In football, the deadline used to be a lot earlier. And one of the reasons they didn't want to move it back is they didn't want teams that knew they were out of it to start unloading players. And you can unload a couple, but if you unload a bunch, I think the commissioner, you could earn the wrath of the commissioner because they don't want anybody to actually think that they're tanking.
I know there's a lot of new football fans who weren't alive when this happened, but you go back to that Herschel Walker trade with Jimmy Johnson happened in October of 1989. John, I never see that kind of trade happening again because there were so many moving parts. It was funny that the Oilers somehow got involved indirectly because with a pick they got from the Vikings, they took Brad Hopkins in 1993. Just a crazy trade that'll never happen again. At least I don't think it will.
Well, it'll never happen again because it was so one-sided. And at the time, people are like, what in the world is Jimmy Johnson doing? He needs to go back to college. And Walker at the time was a great running back. And what Jimmy was not allowed to say is that any of the players he acquired, he could get first-round picks for. And that was in the deal. He couldn't tell anybody that. And, you know, he's rubbing his hands in glee behind the scenes today that would leak out. But so he got rid of several of those guys, got number one picks over the next 2 years, and there were a couple of twos thrown in there as well. So he took what the Vikings, who they wanted to get rid of, and turned them into number one picks that brought a couple of their great players that helped them win three Super Bowls. And you couldn't do a deal like that again and keep parts of it secret. And if you tried to, it would leak. But we'll never see anything like that again. I went to a birthday party for Ken Houston. Ken started with the Oilers. For some reason, they traded him to the Redskins. He was the first ballot Hall of Famer. People always say in Houston, well, that DeAndre Hopkins trade's the worst in Houston football history. No, it's not. If Hop goes to the Hall of Fame on the first ballot, but they traded Kenny Houston to Washington for like 7 tomato cans. And he went on to play great. And it still never got – we never got an answer. It was before my time of covering them. But even – we never got an answer out of Bud. If it was Bud Adams that made him do it, if it was the general manager that did it. But there have been so many bad trades, more in baseball than any sport.
This is why I love talking to you. Were you there when Largent was cut and was sent on to Seattle?
No, but I know all about it because they thought they could sneak him through waivers, just like Steve Tasker. You know, people think Steve Tasker, Buffalo, they don't realize that Bum Phillips drafted him.
Wow.
And they thought that they could get Tasker snuck through waivers. And, of course, Bills claimed him, and he turned out to be one of the greatest special teams players ever. And then Largent was a low pick. You know, it's funny, all the players today, if you're a seventh-round pick, oh, my God, you're a seventh-rounder. That seventh-round used to be a premium pick because the draft went like 24 rounds, then 18, 16, 14, 12. I started when it was 12, and they tried to do it over multiple days. And one time they did it in one day, and we're up at 2 in the morning waiting on the last draft choice. And Largent, Bum Phillips said that was the greatest mistake he ever made was on Steve Largent, sending him to Seattle and turning into one of the greatest receivers in history and a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
John McClain is with us from Houston. I'm curious of when you know, I know you're covering the Texans, but when you flip on a Titans game or you see the highlights and you see Derrick Henry standing on the sideline, you know, that's obviously been a big conversation around here of are they using him enough? Because when he gets into a rhythm, that's when all of a sudden the Titans offense starts to work. And statistically, if he has the ball in his hands over 20 times in a game, they usually win. So what goes through your mind when you're seeing him on the sideline?
Well, I do try to keep up with the Titans as much as I can. And when I see Tajay Spears averaging 5.5 yards a carry and his longest run is 22 yards, I think, boy, you know, I can understand them trying to get him in space, and he's a decent receiver. Now, if they thought Derrick Henry behind the offensive line that they have could be the dominating force that he's been, they'd be using him that way. But also maybe they're trying to hope he could stay healthy over 17 games. I've always thought that they needed somebody to take some of the heat off of him because of the beating that he takes mean, it's not just his career. I'm amazed at the end of his season. You know, they always seem to play the Texans late, and the Texans, he kills the Texans. That he's got that much left because he gets hit so many times when he doesn't have the ball. You know, you think about play action. He gets hit on play action. People are not watching him. They're watching Tannehill roll out and seeing who he's going to throw the ball to while Henry's been popped again. I'd like to see somebody keep up one time, not how many carries he has, but how many times he gets hit and by how many players. That is could be what they're trying to preserve him for, but when they come off that bye week, they got to do everything they can to beat the Falcons because then they got those three road games in a row, and the three teams they play, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, and Jacksonville, none has a losing record. So none are pushovers. And so it's a tough schedule until they get down to Carolina on November 26th. Then they get 4 or 5 at home. But they've got to get that running game going where it's dominant. I don't know if they can with that offensive line. It's amazing to me, guys, how many offensive lines right now are struggling because they're not good or they got injuries or both. And the reason is they're linemen coming out of college today, they throw the ball so much, they don't run block like they used to. Used to, when they came in the NFL, they were vicious run blockers and they had to be taught about pass protection. But now it's all about pass protection. They have to be taught about run blocking. And then when you fit in injuries, and then I was at this deal for Kenny Houston talking to a lot of former players, and it got around to the offensive line. There were some offensive linemen there saying offensive linemen need to hit in the offseason more than any other position. And if you don't, you're going to get off to a slow start. And, of course, nobody can hit in the offseason.
He is John McClain from Houston. We will have more with him coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game on a TV theme Thursday. Talking with the great John McClain. You can find his work at sportsradio610.com in Houston. Also does a lot of appearances on that radio station and others across the country, including this one.
John, what do you think about make of Aaron Rodgers? I'm going to get back, and all that talk there. And by the way, that Jets-Eagles game on Sunday, it was simply fantastic. And Zach Wilson, although he's not nearly as what they thought he would be, you see a little progress each and every week. But let's talk about Rodgers. Do you think he makes it back?
I'll tell you what, Joe, nobody knows. But watching him out there throwing the ball, and if you didn't know he had surgery for Achilles a month ago, you wouldn't have any clue. Because he was walking normally, and maybe he's going to go back into the darkness and come out, and that'll help him. He does such weird stuff. Who knows? Now, they're saying, well, he might be back for the playoffs. If Zach Wilson helps them get to the playoffs, would you take a guy who hadn't played all season coming off major surgery and put him out there in a playoff game over the guy who helped you get there? I don't know that they would do that. If he were able to come back, say, the last two regular season games, maybe. And I'm not saying he can't do it because we just don't know. Traditionally, Achilles takes 4 to 6 months, and a quarterback who has to move around in the pocket quite a bit and push off every time he throws the ball, that almost seems like you run the risk of re-tearing it again. But it's a great story, and I think the fact that he's there, you know, he started off in California. People wondered, will he disappear back to California? Will he help? Will he help the offense and Zach Wilson? Well, he came back, and from watching him on Hard Knocks, he's very respected. He works behind the scenes helping those guys. It was Tom Brady. It was the Aaron Rodgers show on HBO, and he put his best foot forward. But I was impressed. And their defense is great. Their running game is great. They're not going to finish first or second, but they're still in the wild card conversation. And, man, if he gets closer to coming back where they say, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks he could play, it's going to be all Rodgers all the time like it was all across the offseason.
John, you know so much about the NFL. You know all the owners and the history and the teams. What owner would give Caleb Williams partial ownership of their football team if he's drafted?
That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. You can't do that. Have they ever heard of a salary cap? No, you can't give anybody anything. I remember one time, let's see, Pat Bowlen was giving John Elway money while he played to be a partner in the Arena League team. And they said, whoa, 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 that's a salary cap violation. Any income a player gets from an owner, it goes towards the salary cap. So when I saw that story, I'm saying, well, why don't y'all put in there it's impossible because of the salary cap? And the dumbass agents ought to know better. It's a violation of the salary cap. I'm Caleb Williams. I'm embarrassed that they're doing something that's stupid because it's impossible.
I agree. That is fantastic. John McClain is with us. Is the game of the year going to happen Sunday night between Miami and Philadelphia? Because I'm really looking forward to this one.
Everybody's looking forward to this game, but it's too early to be the game of the year because so many things can happen. Philadelphia obviously wants to play well enough for the Phillies to be proud of the Eagles, because right now the Eagles have yet to be a dominant team like they were a lot of last season. One of the most amazing stats in football to me is, other than the Patriots, no Super Bowl loser has gone back to the Super Bowl since the Steelers in the 90s. Why is that? The team that loses Super Bowl should be the hungriest team in football. Can't wait for the offseason and the preseason and the season, but they always seem to struggle. Fortunately for the Eagles, Cowboys, their chief competitor, also is struggling. But Miami, they're fun to watch now. Wait till they have to go play in the East when in December and January when the weather gets bad. But they're the most exciting team in football. They lost Devon Achane, who was Devon Achane at Texas A&M. Now he's Devon Achane. He was only averaging 11 yards a carry when he suffered a knee injury and went on injured reserve. And then Raheem Mostert steps up, and he's just as good. So it's amazing what Mike McDaniel has created there. And if the Eagles don't dominate with their defensive front, they're going to lose another game. But I think they'll bounce back.
And we've talked to you about Mike McDaniel before because he obviously spent some time in Houston. But for me, like if I'm ranking coaches based on just guys that I root for right now, it's Mike McDaniel and Dan Campbell is top two. And you got a good one there in Houston.
It's very interesting that you say that, Chase, because I looked at the odds back when the Texans lost their first two games. The odds of Miko Ryan's been voted coach of the year 40-1. Now they're 7-1, and he's third behind Campbell and McDaniel. I'm not so sure Detroit's not the best team in the NFC. And the reason is this renaissance of the Lions started about midway through last season when they started poorly and then they improved their defense. Jared Goff is playing great. He's got to be in the MVP conversations. They're going to lose both coordinators, Ben John offense, Aaron Glenn defense, to head coaching jobs, I imagine. And they've been tremendous. They can score. They can play defense. They're physical. They don't make a lot of mistakes. And I think those two guys right now, and I think D'Amico Ryans is third, but what Campbell and McDaniel are so different. Campbell wants to run over you. He wants to bite you in the knee. McDaniel wants to run around you, run between your legs. He wants to jump over you. He wants to outthink you. They're almost like two totally different coaches, but they're both Renaissance men.
John, we got to, you know, every week we'll probably bring this up. Bill Belichick, I mean, that football team's not good. Now that it comes out, he's a couple of wins away from having the most losses, which I don't think is a factor because he's coached for so long and won all the Super Bowls. But, I mean, that narrative with him, and this is getting to a critical stage because that's a bad team. And then you put the record out he had with Brady, and the Brady without Brady is a losing record. It's not a good time to be a Patriot fan.
Well, that tells me he needs another great quarterback. And I think there's some teams. It's amazing how many teams need quarterbacks. And this is a great draft for quarterbacks, starting with Caleb Williams and Drake May. And if they get in position or close enough to trade, you know, the whole key is, will he be the guy making the decisions? Gerard Mayo's on that staff. And he played there. He's been a coach there. Carolina wanted to interview him for the job that went to Frank Reich. They gave him a huge raise not to interview. So a lot of people think he is the heir apparent to Belichick because he knows everything about that team. And what a way to start with a new coach, a popular guy, and he starts with a new quarterback. picked high in the first round, and then does Belichick sail away? Or does he try to keep working? Because I doubt anybody's going to hire him at his age, but it's one of the great mysteries. Aaron Rodgers, Achilles, and Bill Belichick's coaching future are two of the biggest mysteries in the NFL. It's going to be so much fun to see how they play out.
John McClain is with us. All right, so I'll ask you, you just mentioned Caleb Williams and, you know, what you would do there. It came up this morning on our morning show. If the Titans just are terrible the rest of the way and they somehow end up with the first pick, which I don't think they're going to, but just for hypotheticals, and Caleb Williams, obviously that's the guy, do you take it or do you view all the holes that the Titans have and trade that pick and get a lot of draft capital to try and fill those holes and build around Levis?
If you get a quarterback, if you have a chance to get a generational quarterback, you have to do it. And there's no way. You can use free agency in the draft to build around them, but you've got to have the quarterback. And that's why they're going to have to see Levis at some point over multiple games to see what they think. They see behind the scenes. The key is, when he makes mistakes, does he bounce back from them? How does he handle it mentally? What kind of leader he is? How does he react to adversity? How does he react to success? The only way you're going to find those things out is playing them over multiple games. I've seen this play out with C.J. Stroud, who started terribly in preseason and then all of a sudden just keeps getting better. And one of the things is he's very well coached, but they've had a great offseason of free agents that none of them got more than a 2-year contract. So those guys are out there. And I think the Titans would, unless Will Levis convinced Mike Vrabel and Rand Cawthorn, I am the quarterback. I am the quarterback of the future. If you had a shot at Caleb Williams or Drake May, you got to take it.
Well, John, great stuff as always. Appreciate it. And enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, thank you very much. I hope you're talking to me on Wednesday when the Astros are in the World Series, but I'm not holding my breath. Thank you.
We will see for sure. Thanks, John. Great great job, God, as always. All right, I told you we're giving away a lot of stuff today. You ready to give away some KISS tickets?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do this. We're actually going to give away two pairs of KISS tickets, so caller 4 and caller 5. We'll win a pair of KISS tickets at 615-737-1025. This contest is presented by Green Trees Company, a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary, providing high-quality legal THC products for anyone seeking medicine, relief, or wellness. Located in Hendersonville and a new location in West Nashville and available at greentreescompany.com. Coming up next, we'll talk to Patton Oswalt. He's going to be in town. We'll tell you why. Looking forward to that here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.